Hi, family. It's so wonderful to be here with all of you. And thank you, Joey and Donna, for having me here. And what a privilege to be back and with you guys. I know that Joey and David have been preaching the last few weeks about fruitfulness. And so Joey asked me to preach, you know, and I just said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I felt like the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and it was confirmed in the prayer meeting today. Joey did say last week he should be at the prayer meeting. Should obey your leaders. It was confirmed in the prayer meeting that the Lord wants to go in a particular direction. And so a little bit of context. We are in an interesting time in the world at the moment. Things are happening in the Middle East. You will have probably, most of you, seen that. I phoned some friends in America and they had no idea what was happening, which is just interesting, given that America is playing a big part of it. And yesterday morning I woke up and I saw a message on X. I don't know if you use X. It used to be Twitter. And it was of Donald Trump making a 8-minute speech. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Basically, he was standing there with, you know, a cap on that said USA and the American flag behind him. And he was saying, sorry, I'm just going to wait for the war helicopter to go. He was saying, for the last, you know, 47 years, we've been trying to deal with a regime in Iran that has been anti-America, anti-the West, anti-Israel. And, you know, he said, since June last year, you know, we came and bombed Iran in an operation called Midnight Hammer, where, according to Trump, they obliterated all of the nuclear sites, and he listed the three of them very specifically. And I watched this, and he said, you know, we've been trying to negotiate. We've been saying you can't have a nuclear weapon. You can't have all these missiles, etc. And we've been trying to negotiate. But, you know, you want to do a deal, then you don't want to do a deal. Then you want to do a deal, and then you come back, and you don't want to do a deal. And actually, you don't know what you want, and we've had enough. And so today I'm announcing that America and Israel are conducting major joint operations and a bombing campaign started in Iran. And the supreme leader of Iran, al-Hussein Khamenei, was killed with 40 of his top commanders in the first few hours of that operation. And I remember I called my family together and I said, hey guys, come watch this. This is going to be something that's going to be important in history for you to remember. This is a significant event. And when Bassi brought a tongue this morning, I saw the Lord standing in a similar way to Donald Trump. But not with pride and arrogance, but with love. And I felt him saying, I have taught you for so long. I've called you for so long. And I've asked you to bear fruit. Bear fruit before it's too late. There was no anger in him. Just love. And I felt the Lord wanted me to preach to you from a parable that Jesus himself told in Mark chapter 4. A parable is a story with a lesson. And we're going to read some of it together. But I think before we read the parable, we need to understand that Jesus gives us so much, but he also has requirements of us. And that requirement is fruit. He used another parable to talk about the requirement. He said, if a manager gives talents. And then he goes away. When he comes back, he expects to receive a return on the talents that he's given. And the reason Jesus tells these stories is not so that we can have good principles or we can... It's because he's coming back again and he expects to see fruit. So let's read the parable in the context of that, because Jesus is not teaching about farming in this parable. He's teaching about fruit. So can we look at Mark chapter 4? And we're going to read from verse 2. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? And then he explains the parable. And Jesus is teaching them not about farming, but about how to not be unfruitful. Because he's going to describe four kinds of soil. Only one of them is fruitful. So let's see if we can see how not to be unfruitful. Verse 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. The first thing to notice from this parable is the seed. Just as in nature, the seed from a flower or a plant is the source of new life or the source of new trees. And the seed comes out of fruit, but it creates another one of the species so that it can multiply. The seed is essential for fruit. You see, if the farmer doesn't plant the seed, there will be no fruit. There will be no life, there will be no power, there will be no change, there will be no fruit. The seed is the word of God. And who is the word of God? Jesus is the word of God, John chapter 1 tells us. And that's why Jesus says, without me, the seed, the word, you can do nothing. And so our responsibility, because the seed is the state of our hearts, is to receive and accept Jesus and let him remain and abide. To receive and accept his word and to let it go deep into our lives and to let it change us completely. To let it do its work so that the fruit starts to come out of our lives. The secret to producing fruit is accept the seed and treasure the seed. The rest of the story is all about that, how we accept the seed. And then Jesus says that there are three types of hearts that don't accept the seed well. And the first one that he talks about, this is not going to be long, is the path. What do you know about a path? About a pathway? Imagine a rural field. Or for those of you who don't go walking in the fields much, imagine a vegetable patch. And then there's a path around it. What happens on a path? People walk on the path. And what is a path like? It's hard, right? And so how do we get a heart that looks like a path? It's things where we've been before. It's things that we've heard before. It's things that we are familiar with. We always walk on that path. But the problem is that when the seed lands there, oh, I know that. Oh, but actually, the truth is we don't receive it. We don't accept it. We don't do it anymore. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. And for a congregation like this that gets such beautiful teaching week after week after week, such beautiful worship week after week after week, we can come here and we can be like, it's normal. Oh, I've heard. Oh, he's talking on that. Oh, I know that. Or I've got the values. What we need to do, we need to understand that all of our hearts are like that little vegetable patch. As that sometimes we can start cutting corners because we know that, and we start walking on the place where the seed is supposed to go in. And then when the seed comes, when Jesus speaks to us, we're like, yeah. But actually, we don't judge ourselves properly. We don't realize it's hard. In Hebrews, the Bible says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That means every time you hear the word, we need to be well prepared. We need to have open hearts. You know, there was keeping with the world, what's happening in the world, there was a gentleman who was the president of Venezuela. His name is Maduro. And Trump said to him, I want you to stop doing X, Y, Z. I want you to stop this. I want you to stop. And he was like, nah, I've heard that before from American president. Nothing's going to happen. And then something happened. And even with that warning, Al-Khamenei in Iran, I mean, he was warned. Do a deal or bad things are going to happen. And he's like, ah, I've heard that before. I've been here for 37 years as the supreme leader. And he's dead. And the same thing, we can look at them and be like, ah, silly guys, you should have learned. You should have known. But Jesus is standing saying, guys, I want fruit from your life of the word that I've planted, that I've put out. We can't treat him the same way. The second type of seed didn't land on the path. It landed on rocky soil or on shallow soil. And what happens here is we hear the word of God, and the Bible says that it was received, the people who have shallow soil receive it with joy. They hear it, they're like, yes, I love that. They see Jesus, they're like, yes, I want you to be Lord of my life. Yes, I want to hear you, right? But then what happens is two things come. Trouble comes, or in the New Living it says problems, and pressure, or problems and persecutions. And shallow soil is the kind of soil that accepts what we think the word is saying because we think it's going to be good for us, which it is going to be good for us, but we don't realize the depth of the word, the truth of it, which says that if we accept the word, we need to hold on to it and retain it through suffering. We need to persevere. We've had a little example of this in our family for the last 2 years. I heard the Lord speak to me and say, I want you to go to the U.S. I'm like, yes, Lord, I'm going. And 2 years later, still no visa, still not there, still traveling, still being hosted beautifully by people. It's been difficult, but it's been beautiful. It's been hard, but the Lord has taught me so much through it. And I've wanted to often give up. Oh, if I could only go back to Sunnydale 11. It was so beautiful there. The leeks and the garlic. Tanya's curry, that's what I'm thinking of. That was the children of Israel. They were wanting to go back to Egypt because we don't want the hard part. You see, it's like we hear Jesus, yes, I'm going to give you heaven. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to heal you. Yes, he is. But then before we get there, he said, I promise you it's going to be hard. And so we get to the hard and suddenly, not for me. And the third. Maybe just a little illustration of the shallow soil. Following Jesus, I'm learning. Following Jesus. Sometimes he walks through high mountains, and the view is beautiful. But sometimes he walks through forests of thorn bushes. The shallow soil gets to the thorn bushes, feels one or two, and decides, mm-mm. But Jesus went through that. And he said, if the Master goes through that, so must you who follow him. So back to the third one. The third one is the thorny soil. And it's interesting because Jesus describes three kinds of thorns. See? It's not just one thorn bush. There's all different kinds of them. I need to tell you a story. I had just had my operation and I was going on my second walk with my beautiful wife around where we're staying at the moment. And I bought these big shoes that you can see I'm wearing. You know why these are so good? Why I got them? It's not for the style. Obviously, right? Okay. It's because they're so soft when you walk in them. They they're supposed to protect and, you know, right? So, and also my feet don't look nice in, you know, open anyway. So, that was a personal overshare. And I'm walking and suddenly I feel like, hey, ow, ow. And I'm like, Annie, can you help me? Because I can't bend down at that time. So I'm like, there's something in my shoe. And I look in and I feel, and there's nothing. I can't feel anything, you know. I'm like, maybe I was just thinking, you know. So I put it on and I step. Have you seen those thorns? It went straight in the bottom and in there and broke off. That has got nothing to do with my preach. But Jesus describes three kinds of thorns. He says, the worries of this life. He means the concerns of this life, the interests. The second one is the lure of wealth. You know what that means? The lure of wealth, not wealth itself. The lure of wealth, the lie of wealth, the lie that if you get more, you'll be happier or more able to bless the kingdom, or just get more. And when you've got that, get more. That lie. And three, the desire for other things. And he talks about the thorny soil is like if the path is the hard soil and then the rocky soil is the shallow soil, then the thorny soil is the crowded heart. It's crowded out by the thorns. And the word of God tries to go in, but those things come and they push it out. They sideline it. They squeeze the life out of it. And the word of God gets crowded out of our life by these thorns that want to replace it. You know what I've learned these last 2 years? The less that I have in my hands, the more of him I can hold. And so I think the Lord wants us to respond. There's some good news. And the good news is soil can change. And the soil of my heart can change. And the soil of your heart can change. Because when I look at my heart, I see paths everywhere and rocks everywhere and thorns everywhere. But he's given me this heart like a vegetable patch. And good soil is less about your personality and more about what you are cultivating. See, I can be given this vegetable patch today and it looks like a clay ice rink, you know, like hard. And I can cultivate it. I can dig it. I can put a plow through it. I can do things that will make the soil better. Does that make sense? So maybe let's do this. Let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, would you show us, each of us individually, the state of our heart? And where it's hard, would you soften it? And where it's shallow, would you deepen it? And where there's thorns, Lord, would you clear them out so that we can bear fruit for you? And Lord, I pray that every one of us would respond, that we would not be the, I've heard this one before. But Lord Jesus, that our hearts would be changed.